Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." My theme this morning is how to be victorious in the fight against sin. All of us are in a relentless fight against sin. All of us every day battle sinful thoughts, sinful attitudes, sinful temptations, and sinful actions. As the Apostle Paul declares in Romans chapter 7, we find within us an intense war taking place between the flesh and the spirit, and we say the godly things that we want to do, we don't find ourselves doing, and the ungodly things that we don't want to do, we find ourselves doing. Now, regarding the fight of sin, those who are true believers know that the devil is doing everything he can to make sin attractive, harmless, permissible, and enjoyable before the eyes of God's children. When we look at the battleground of the Bible, we cannot help but notice those who were once faithful conquerors of the Lord who lost their testimony, their spiritual effectiveness, and in some cases, their very lives, because they gave way to the pleasures of sin. We look at the empty pews that surround us. We cannot help but think of those who were once faithful serving the Lord in our own congregation, who are now missing in action because they gave way to the sinful compromises of this world. Without question, there are some who are among us this morning who are on the very edge of the pit of sin and the pit of destruction. The question I want to answer is, how can we avoid being defeated by the poison of sin? How can we obey Romans chapter 6, verse 12, and not allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies? How can we walk in holiness, righteousness, and godliness in this present world? Well, let me offer you 10 biblical exhortations that will help you be victorious in the fight against sin. If you want to be a good, holy soldier of Jesus Christ that maintains a faithful testimony, you must, number one, see sin as it is. And what is sin? Well, sin is the transgression of God's holy law. Now, sin is an offense against our Creator. It is our sin that separates us from God. And if we want to be victorious over sin, we must see sin as it is. And we must see sin as exceedingly sinful. We cannot treat sin as lightly. And we must see that all sin is against God. And God hates the sin of lying. And God hates the sin of pride. And God hates the combative attitudes that abide among the brethren, namely disunity among the flock. And God hates murder. And God hates adultery. God hates blasphemous actions. And if we are to be victorious in fighting against sin, we must call sin what it is, and sin being evil. Man calls it an accident, but God calls it abomination. Man calls it a defect, but God calls it a disease. Man calls it an error, but God calls it enmity. Man calls it liberty, but God calls it lawlessness. Man calls it a trifle, but God calls it a tragedy. Man calls it a mistake, God calls it a madness. Man calls it a weakness, and God calls it willfulness. And Jesus said to the Pharisees in Luke chapter 16, verse 15, Ye are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. In other words, Jesus is calling sin, sin. He's calling sin as abomination. Though others cuddle their sin and their evil practices, Jesus says, in the sight of our holy, righteous God, it is abomination. And we recall the testimony of faithful Joseph in Genesis. Joseph was abandoned by his brothers and then led to Egypt under the care of Potiphar. Righteous Joseph was allured by Potiphar's wife. And Potiphar's wife asking Joseph, not once, not twice, but many times, Joseph, come lie with me. And Joseph, nobody will know. And Joseph, come, take pleasure. And you remember Joseph's response to Potiphar's wife. Joseph said, there is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything that is from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? There we learn how Joseph conquered the temptation of sin. There we learn that Joseph saw sin as great wickedness against God. And we see this also with David after he fell with Bathsheba. In Psalm 51, he confesses his sin and he says, against thee, thee only have I sinned, O Lord. And against thee have I done this evil in thy sight. Yes, adultery is evil in the sight of the Lord. And to take another person's husband's life is evil. So if we want to conquer sin, if we want to be victorious as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we must see sin as it is. We must see sin as a spiritual cancer, as a poison that destroys the soul. We live in a society that is watering down the power of sin. And we must treat sin like an electric box with a healthy fear. Now we must see it as it is so we do not become shocked. No pun intended. We see sin as it is. If you want to be victorious in the fight against sin, you must, number two, know sin's consequences. Know sin's consequences. It has been said that sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin has the ability to ruin your testimony, to ruin your good name, to ruin your reputation among men. Sin has the ability to ruin your marriage, to ruin the relationship that you have with your children and with your parents for time and eternity. Sin has the capability of leading you to a hard, calloused heart. It has the capability of leading you to the direct discipline of God. And sin can lead to 1,000 other sins. It can lead to heartache and sorrow and regret and loss, financial loss and physical loss and loss of family members and friends. Psalm 51 again, sin has the ability to rob our joy from us. And if you don't believe me, go walk the streets of Skid Row downtown at 5th and Crocker. Visit the men and women who live in tents in downtown Los Angeles. And these men and women who had at one time nice families, high-paying jobs, beautiful homes, who gave way to gambling, lying, drinking alcohol, smoking drugs, and sexual immorality. These men and women never once put on their calendar, in the year 2019, I'm going to live in a tent on Skid Row, downtown Los Angeles. They never planned to live in a rat-infested street. What happened? They did not consider the consequences. And the consequences we need to ever keep before our minds, that our sin will always find us out. Sin is the greatest detective. It never loses a case. We must constantly remember that we will reap what we sow, and God is not going to be mocked. And knowing what sin is, and knowing the consequences of sin, this ought to lead us to avoid its presence. And we see this in the book of Proverbs. The father is instructing the son several times about the way of the harlot. And the way of the harlot being also an illustration of the world and the waywardness of men. And the father pointing out to the son, be careful of the one who has a smooth tongue. Be careful of the one who with her sensual ways seeks to allure you. And the father is pointing this out to the son so his son can prevent any consequences that may come if he were to give in to that sin. It is like going to the zoo and seeing the lion in the pen. And some pens are open with high walls. And you know what a lion is capable of doing. You know the strength of a lion. You know something about a lion's ability to pounce and to dig its claws in your skin and to take a bite. And that is why you don't jump into the fenced area at the zoo. You know the consequences. And so it is with sin. If we know the consequences, we will not jump into it. So we want to be victorious over sin. How can we do it? We're daily confronted with these sinful thoughts and sinful actions and sinful words. We need to see sin as it is. We need to know its consequences. And then number three, we need to take personal responsibility. Man in our day is throwing off personal responsibility so very fast, but Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And people sin today, people sitting in jail at this moment for doing wrong, and they justify themselves by saying, well, everybody else is doing it. It's just the way it is. And others begin to compare themselves among themselves, and they say, well, it's the fault of society. It's the fault of my parents. It's the fault of this chemical imbalance that I have. It's the fault of my upbringing. I was raised in a broken home, and I saw all these things, and so that's why I do what I do. We will never have victory over sin if we do not take personal responsibility. And don't we see this in the garden with the first parents, Adam and Eve? Adam was given a clear command from God not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree. And Eve knew that command. And when God came to them after they sinned, what happened? Well, Adam said to God, well, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave and I did eat. It's the woman's fault. And God then going to the woman, well, it's the serpent. The serpent beguiled me. And none of them took personal responsibility for their sin. But if we want to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loved us, we must take personal responsibility. We must own sin when we fall into it. If you want to be victorious in the fight against sin, you must also keep short accounts. Keep short accounts with God first and then with men second. That is the humbling of yourselves. And when you fail and you sin in thought, word, and deed, you in that moment say, God, I confess this as sin. You agree with Him that it is evil and you turn from it. You ask for cleansing, 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keeping short accounts with God. And if you do not, these weeds of sin will grow, and they will grow, and then if left undone, they will become unbearable. My father sent me a picture of his neighbor whose yard has been left alone for years, and weeds are now coming over his fence. Thorn bushes well over a 7-foot fence. And you look at the picture and you say, well, I'm sure the neighbor thinks, boy, I've reached the point where I don't even want to mess with it anymore. It's too late. It's unbearable. And so if we do not check sin in the moment that we give way to sin, if we do not keep short accounts
We may come to the point, well, we're so headlong into it, we might as well run with it. Sin is like a leech that attaches itself to the body. As sin, this leech, will suck the spiritual life and vigor from us. And so we must be zealous in taking off the leeches when we find sin in our life. If you want to be victorious in the fight against sin, you must also make holy resolutions. In Joshua 24, verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Do you see his ambition here? Do you see his resolved heart? Now, you can choose what you want to do, but as for me and my house, Joshua is drawing a line in the sand. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to serve the Lord. If others do not, we are. And he was a man of resolution. And we see this also with David, Psalm 101, verse 3. David said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." And so David is resolved. "I will set no wicked thing before mine eye." Job, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. How then shall I look upon a maid?" He's resolved. I've made a promise before God regarding my eyes that I'm not going to give way to sexual immorality. And we find this also with Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel knew the king's meat was offered unto idols. He was a Jew. He was not going to give way to sin, though he was in Babylon. Though he could have probably gotten away with it without many other Jews knowing. But he was a man of holy resolution. And we've lost this in our day. Being a people who are purposeful and resolved. We call this having convictions. Now, we live in a day where our Christianity is full of jellyfish Christians. No backbone. Everybody's just floating along. Whatever comes, comes. No, we need Christians with backbones who will make holy resolutions. We need Christians who will say, "God helping me, I'm not going to speak filthy words. I'm not going to use the language of the world. God helping me, I'm not going to watch anything with blasphemous language, cursing, or any form of sensuality that may cause undesired sinful emotions. God helping me, I'm going to tell the truth. God helping me, I will not forsake the public preaching of God's word. I will not forsake the gathering of ourselves together." We draw a line in the sand and we say, "We will and we will not." Do you have a list of things that you will and you will not? Or are you just floating along? If you want to fight the good fight of faith, and if you want to have victory over sin, you must be a person who makes holy resolutions. Martin Luther said, "You cannot keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair." That's true. We can't help the exposure to sin as we drive down the freeway and see the billboard, as we go to the shopping centers, as we watch various programs on TV, as we rub shoulders with the world. We cannot keep from these things, but we can prevent the birds from making a nest in our hair. We can prevent sin from growing in our hearts and on our minds. If you want to be victorious in the fight against sin, you must also live in the light of God's all-seeing eye. How would you live if your daily actions and words were being recorded for others to watch live on YouTube? How would you live if this week I could connect an SD card to your heart and to your mind and record everything that you thought and did and then show it to the church family next week? The Bible says, Proverbs 5:21, that the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hebrews chapter 4, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. And this ought to be a motive for forsaking sin and walking in holiness. The Father is the one who knows all and sees all. He knows our thoughts afar off. He is the one who sees the very intentions of our hearts. And so this causes us to flee sin. Parents, we teach our children that kids song, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, ears, what you hear, and your mind, what you think." But it's a song that we ought not only to teach children, but we need to preach to ourselves. If we want to be victorious, we need to live in the light of God's all-seeing eye. Before you click on that website, remember, God's watching. Before you go carousing with ungodly friends, God's watching. Before you gossip and slander and use your tongue as a sword, you need to remember God's watching. And then number 7, if we want to be victorious, not only do we live in the light of God's all-seeing eye, we live in the light of Christ's return. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. The Apostle Paul here gives an exhortation to flee the ungodly lusts of this world, and then he gives a motivation of that exhortation, and the motivation is the return of Jesus Christ. Paul, several places in his epistles, says that Jesus Christ is coming, and He's coming soon. And He's coming as a thief in the night. When man least expects it, Christ is coming. And this ought to be a motive of forsaking sin. We don't want Christ to find us loving the pleasures of sin when He comes back. We want Christ to find us true and faithful. And so that's why the Scripture says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us not give way to spiritual slumber or spiritual laxity. Let us not give way to a weariness of fighting the good fight of faith, but let us watch. Let us be alert. Let us be alive unto Jesus Christ, forsaking sin, so that when He comes back, He finds us obedient, not disobedient. And then, if you want to be victorious in the fight against sin, you must pray against sin. James says, ye have not because ye ask not. So simple. We pray for so many things, but how many of us pray against our sin? The author of Hebrews tells us that we are running a race of faith. And as we run this race of faith, we are to put aside the weight that so easily besets us. We are to lay aside the sin that seeks to cleave to us. And we do that one way through prayer, through the weapon of prayer, by approaching the throne of grace and asking God to do that which we cannot do. And some sins are like dragons that gain a strong hold over us, and we cannot slay it. So we need God to fight our battles for us. We need God, the conqueror, to slay certain dragons.
Psalm 19:13, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. This is a prayer. David says, oh Lord, help me not to give way to sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Psalm 119:133, order my steps in thy word and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And yes, we pray for the health of others. We pray for the salvation of souls. We pray for the advancement of God's kingdom. But we also must pray that God would work holiness in our hearts. We must pray that we would be free from the bondage of sin that seeks to harm us. And some are victims to sin rather than victors because they do not wield the sword of prayer toward the dragon of sin. You want to be victorious? You must pray and pray specifically against various sins that seek to slide in your life like a slithery snake. You pray, oh Lord, set a watch before my tongue. Oh Lord, help me to glance away from those things that seek to alarm me. Oh Lord, subdue the anger that seeks to conquer when I'm angry. And we're praying specifically so that we can walk in holiness. And then if you want to be victorious in the fight against sin, you must read the Bible daily. Why? Why do we read the Bible daily? Because it will remind us of points 1-8. We read the Bible daily so we can see sin as it is. We can be reminded of its consequences. We can know something of our personal responsibility. We read the Bible so that we might make holy resolutions and keep short accounts before God. We read the Bible because in the Bible we're reminded that God sees us and Christ is coming again. The Word of God reminds us what pleases God and what displeases Him. Reading the Bible warns us of those who stopped fighting sin and were conquered by their spiritual slothfulness. Reading the Bible reminds us of God's standard of living when we are constantly being bombarded by man's standard of living. We are constantly hearing from the world. There are no objectives. Everything is subjective. You can live as you please. Follow your heart. Do what feels good. So reading the Bible reminds us of what God wants rather than what man wants. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Paul says in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we go to the Bible because the Bible transforms our thinking. And we go to the Bible because when we are filled with the Bible, we are filled with the Spirit. The author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you don't have to jump up and down on the pews speaking some strange lingo. All you have to do is get your heart exposed to the Word. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do we walk in the Spirit? By walking in the Word. We walk in the Spirit by obeying what God has said. To be filled with the Word is to be filled with the Spirit. And so if we read the Bible daily, this will provide us help in fighting against sin. And then number 10. If you want to be victorious in the fight against sin, you must remember what sin did to Christ. Listen to the words of Charles Spurgeon. He said, if I had a brother who had been murdered, what would you think of me if I daily consorted with the assassin who drove the dagger into my brother's heart? Surely I too must be an accomplice in his crime. Sin murdered Christ. Will you be a friend to it? Sin pierced the heart of the incarnate God.
Can you love it? In other words, Spurgeon is saying, if you truly love Christ, you cannot truly love sin. Because sin killed Christ. It was our sin that slayed the Messiah. And so to have victory over sin, we grow in our love for Christ. And growing in our love for Christ, we do not give way to that enemy that conquered Christ. We keep our eyes on the cross and the love that poured from that cross. And we remember or what sin did to Christ. So I conclude by asking you this morning, how is your fight with sin? Is sin killing you? Or are you killing sin? Are you conquering or being conquered? The truth is, the fight against sin will not let up, nor will it leave. The fight against sin will continue until the Lord returns or unto your day of death. And you must equip your mind for the fight. There are far too many who have been in this battle, in the arena of Christianity, who let up and they become lazy. And they quit fighting sin, and now they have been conquered by the enemy. And so when tempted to give into temptation of sin, remember, number one, to see sin as it is. Remember, number two, to know the consequences of sin. Remember, number three, to take personal responsibility for your sin. Remember, number four, to keep short accounts with God and others. Remember, number five, to make holy resolutions. Remember, number six, to live in the light of God's all-seeing eye. Remember, number seven, to live in the light of Christ's return. Remember, number eight, to pray against sin. Remember, number nine, to read the Bible daily. And remember, number 10, what sin did to Christ. If you are here this morning, still loving sin, still attached to the things of this world, see that there is a God and there is a Savior who can deliver you. And His name is Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. And Jesus Christ has come to free us from the bondage of sin and Satan. And if your need is salvation today, you, by faith, trust in Jesus Christ and His blood atonement, that which He did on Calvary's cross. You trust in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. Maybe there's somebody here that is hearing these things and saying, I want to conquer sin and I want to be free from these things, but I cannot. Perhaps your need may be salvation. You cannot conquer sin without the Spirit abiding within you. You cannot conquer sin without the Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ, the Savior, helping you and fighting for you. If you're still on the devil's side, if you're still a child of wrath, lost, dead in trespasses and sins, your main need is Jesus Christ. Because you cannot fight sin as an unbeliever, and because you are already under its sway. And believer, the just man falls seven times, but he gets up again. We fall, but we must fight. We are conquered at times, but we do not remain conquered. We get up again, conquering and moving forward by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go from this place now, we will be confronted with temptation. The enemy is waiting, lurking in the darkness, waiting to pounce, and we must be equipped to fight. So keep these things before you as you seek to be holy, righteous, separated, walking a worthy life before the Lord. Let's pray.